in some cases, spending more money doesn't necessarily mean that the saddle is any better than it would be if you spent $3,000.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Double D Trailers podcast. Today, we're talking saddles with our guest, Kit Hazleton, the owner of Panther Run Saddlery. Kit specializes in helping equestrians, specifically those in the English discipline, find the right saddle. Kit, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you, Brad. It's nice to be here. I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, absolutely. So could you explain what signs to look for that might indicate a poor saddle fit?
Well, if your horse bares its teeth and pins its ears when you come at it with a saddle, that's usually one indication. But things like girthiness, or what they used to call being cold-backed, not wanting to pick up one lead or the other, bend to one direction or the other, bucking after a jump, not wanting to go down hills, you know, what they refer to as rein lameness, you know, the ability to go to one direction but not the other. And those are just a few things. And of course, they can also be indicative of other issues with your horse. But at least saddle fit's something that you can check and rule out pretty easily.
So do you see anything physically, like a rub on the horse, a spot that, I don't know, just becomes irritated because it doesn't fit properly? Is that a sign also or not really?
Oh, yeah. You can get ruffled hair. You can get swelling and edema. If it continues long enough, you can get really severe atrophy, which unfortunately I see more than I would like to. In some of the most extreme cases, the longissimus is completely atrophied to the point where you can actually see the rib heads.
Wow. Yeah, and that's a few risks. So any additional risk that you can think of that would come from ignoring a saddle fit over time, either for the rider and the horse?
I have heard, I don't have any scientific evidence to back this up, but I have heard that kissing spines can result from bad saddle fit, from the horse going inverted rather than round, you know, engaging the abdominals and working forward over the back. One thing that can happen, obviously, you know, saddle sores, you can end up with raw rubbed areas. I think in the time I've been doing this job, I've seen most of them, and I've probably tried to block out the worst of it, so I continue to do the job.
Yeah, and speaking of doing that, before we started recording here, I think you mentioned you started in 1999, so my comment was, yeah, you have a couple days of experience in this. How many folks do you think you have helped over the years?
Easily hundreds, possibly thousands. When I was working for Edie Shorn at Trumbull Mountain Tack, we did a lot of work remotely. People would send us photos of the horse, videos, along with a template of the horse's back. And it's not an exact science, and a lot of fitters can't work that way. But I was able to draw on not only the knowledge of the pool of women I was working with, and we had, at one point, we figured between the five of us, there was like 150 years worth of experience in horses. So I was able to draw on that. I used to be a dressage trainer and rider after I was a Western rider in my youth. So I've got a fairly good eye for performance problems, what might be causing it. Yeah, look, oh, there's a drag on that right hind. Is that the stifle? Is that the hock? Or is that the saddle that's causing it? I was able to help a lot of people collaboratively in some cases with the other ladies in the shop. I've worked extensively with vets, with other saddle fitters. So I've been very lucky to have a big pool of knowledge to draw from as well as my own experience.
Okay. Yeah, years ago, before we actually started manufacturing horse trailers, we had a farm equipment retail store, sold horse feed, horse tack, and I don't know, we probably had 50, 70 saddles, and 95% of them were Western. And the only thing that I remember, maybe it was like, what, 14-inch, 15-inch, or 17-inch saddle, depending on, you know, the folks would come in and they would crawl on top of the saddle horse and just kind of feel the fit there. But you don't have that luxury of someone being able to, you know, sit on a saddle. So if I am new and I'm looking a saddle, I'm coming to you, how does that work? Do we set up video calls? Talk us through that just a little bit.
Usually when people contact me, the first thing I ask for is pictures of the saddle on the horse. Because a lot of times then I can say, oh no, it's too wide. Panel configuration is wrong. Billet setup is wrong. Then I ask them for a confirmation shot of the horse and a template of the horse's back, which is there are three different measurements that that I ask for. And then we start with what discipline do you ride? What saddles have you liked? What saddles haven't you liked? You know, if you are, if you say, oh, I want a jump saddle, I'll ask you, well, do you want something that you can use in the hunter ring? Do you want a jump saddle or do you want a cross country saddle? We go on to how long is your femur? Because that will have a big part in determining not only your seat size, but the set of the flap as well. If you were very long from hip to knee, but you're tall and very thin, you might need, say, a 17-inch saddle, but with a more forward set flap, longer at one spot to accommodate the length of your thigh. It's about fitting the horse as well as fitting the rider, because if one individual in the couple isn't happy, eventually neither individual will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a dual purpose to make sure that it's comfortable for the horse and comfortable for the rider too. So it sounds like it depends on the specific need. You mentioned cross country, or if you're just doing jumping, sometimes does that mean that people may need more than one saddle? How does that work?
Well, if you're just doing dressage, you know, you can usually get away with one saddle. However, if you are doing dressage and your horse is moving up the training scale, you'll need the starter saddle. Then you'll probably need another saddle around second level. And then if your horse really starts progressing and starts getting into, the FEI levels, you're probably going to need another saddle then. I have one customer who's Arab stallion I started working with when he was 4. He just retired at 17, and I think he's been through 5 saddles. And of course, if you're going to do 3-day eventing, then you'll probably need your saddle for cross country and stadium. Sometimes you need one for cross country, one for stadium, and your dressage saddle. Generally, if you're, you know, your average, you know, pleasure rider who maybe does a little showing, maybe does a little trail riding, maybe does a little this or that, your saddle needs aren't going to change as frequently as someone who is competing and bringing the horse along athletically.
Do you actually sell saddles or do you recommend?
I don't anymore. I used to, but I don't have the time or the money for a really, really comprehensive inventory. And you have to remember, when I was working at the tack shop, we not only had multiple lines of new saddles, but we also had a massive pool of used consignment saddles to draw from. So I was able to say, oh, well, this horse might work with an ABC saddle. We don't necessarily carry it, but we have one used. So I could pull from that. But I do tend to like the saddles that are made in the UK the most. I think they offer the most as far as fitting options for both the horse and rider. And the quality is really hard to beat. Any of the shops that I worked with, they were all Society of Master Saddlers, trained saddlers. They were all British Equestrian Trade Association certified shops. And that meant that the saddle trees that they were using had to be perfect down to 1/32nd of an inch in symmetry. I have worked with some of the EU saddles, mostly Passier, but I haven't sold saddles for a long time. So what I do is I point my clients toward fitters or toward shops that I've worked with in the past extensively and that I trust to make sure that they're not going to do something unsavory to my client. Let's put it that way.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I can see the UK quality. I can understand why that may be better than what you're seeing in the US, just for my knowledge, because I don't know, and perhaps some listeners that may be new getting into the horse industry, what's an average cost on a dressage saddle?
Well, it depends on the company. There's one company in the UK that I've worked with for a very long time, and their dressage saddles start around, I want to say, $3,000. Okay. There are saddles out there that you can get for less, but as far as the best bang for the buck, probably you'll start in the $3,000 area. And, you know, you can go up from there if you want to have. There's one specific company that will offer to have the tree made for you and measurements taken and everything. And you pay $12,000 for the privilege. In some cases, spending more money doesn't necessarily mean that the saddle is any better than it would be if you spent $3,000.
Right, right. That makes sense. As a horse owner, are there any adjustments or an easy adjustment that they can make for themselves to improve the saddle fit?
Well, if they have a changeable gullet saddle, they can swap out the gullet and take it from, say, a medium to a wide or to an extra wide or down from an extra wide to a medium. But that is only addressing one part of saddle fit. And I have a lot of people who come to me and go, okay, my horse is a wide. Well, a wide in what saddle, what model, what panel, what flocking type? So that's really one of the only things that a rider can do. I mean, a lot of customers, if I say to them, you know, I can't get out to you for 2 or 3 weeks, use a shim pad to lift the front or whatever. But that's really about all the average horse owner can do.
Okay. Another question that comes to mind, maintenance. Is there a period of time where a rider should check the saddle fitting or update the fitting?
Yeah, I usually recommend that people have their saddle fit checked, depending on how much they ride, anywhere from 4 times a year to once a year. If a rider notices a change in the horse's way of going, if suddenly they're like, yeah, you know, I don't want to pick up that right lead, or no, I don't want to bend to the left, or if they start, you know, getting tense when you do up the girth, if you notice a change in the balance of the saddle, if all of a sudden you feel like you're thrown onto your back pockets or rocked forward onto your pubic bone, that means there's a balance change, and that means you probably ought to have your saddle reflocked if it's wool, but checked in any case.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that saddles were such a science. It sounds pretty complex, more than just going online and, oh, this one looks really nice, and pressing the button and it shows up. So,
yeah. I mean, there are saddle companies that unfortunately encourage that sort of shopping. It's really a disservice to the horse and to the rider. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you're in this business, you should be working for the best interest of the horse and rider that you're working with. Whether it's a saddle that costs $500 or $5,000, if it's a saddle that you carry, or if it's a saddle that someone else carries, you should be in this business for the good of the horse and the rider. And if you're just in the business to sell saddles, then you can't really call yourself a fitter.
Yeah. Wow. Kit, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your years of experience and valuable knowledge with all of us. If some of our listeners would like to contact you, where is the best place to do that?
It's probably going to be through my Facebook page. I'm on Facebook both as Kit Hazelton, and also I have a Panther Run Saddlery business page. They can also email me. It's hazelton.kit@gmail.com. I did have a website, but as we discussed earlier, I closed it down simply because I was getting no traffic from it. So they can contact me any of those ways.
So Facebook works well, email works well, and you're on Facebook, a business page and a personal page. So
correct.
Just look up Kit Hazelton up in Vermont and reach out to her, guys. She can certainly help you. Thank you so much. Pleasure meeting you.
You as well, Brad. Thank you so much.